Again, it's good to see everyone this morning. And this morning we'll be looking at Hebrews 10. This is something I've called Thoughts from Hebrews 10. And on there I put Hebrews 10, 19 through 31, and we'll be spending a lot of time in that section, but we'll actually be touching on all of Hebrews 10. But I thank y'all for being here and hope that we can have a good study together as we just try to glean some things from this little section. So let's start off by reading Hebrews 10, 19 through 31. I'm going to change versions for a reason for the first three verses. It says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ," or blood of Jesus, "by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God." Verse 22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment, the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So, in this first little section, verses 19 through 21, it points our attention to something. So what is that? What can we see from these first couple of little verses? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we can see that in here, and it says that we can have confidence in that. And basically, when you start back in verse 1 of this chapter, it's just kind of going over and over that idea and some of the things where it talks about foreshadowed. And what verse 1, it says, "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And we won't read all the other verses, but it even goes on, kind of an explanation. You know, verse 11, and every priest stands daily ministering, offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. So it's pointing back on how these sacrifices were done, and now we have this sacrifice that was one time for all time. So when we look back at that, when we think of that, and verse 19 tells us that we can have confidence in that. That's where we need to start our thinking. Because we as believers have confidence in that. And we should have confidence. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Because that's where these things start. We'll see from after this point some of the things that are warned about or that can enter in. So we see this idea that Christ is our high priest. And also, he's the victim. So because of this, because of our knowledge of this, then it jumps into these other three verses. In verses 22, 23, and 24, we'll see that it has this word that comes up in all three verses in a row. So I want us to look at that for a minute, because to me that tells us something. In verse 22, it says, let us. And remember, when we're looking at these let us, it's because of our faith in Christ. It says, let us. And what? What's it? Okay, let us draw near. And we'll go more into the verses a little more, but I just want to see in verse 23, it says, let us do what? Hold fast. And then in verse 24, we're to what? Consider. Okay, so let's think about, we need to draw near, hold fast, and consider. These are action words. These are things that we need to do. But these action words, what are they talking about? We're to draw near or hold fast to what? So in verse 22, it says that we are to draw near to okay, with a true heart, or your version might say sincere heart. So your King James or New King James? King James? Okay. So with a sincere heart or a true heart, because of this full assurance of faith. We were washed. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Okay. 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 We can definitely approach God, and that is some of the things, a benefit we have from this, what we look at Christ, because of being right and having access to God. And what I was looking for on that is trying to just focus on this full assurance that we have, this full assurance of faith. Because that's what it's looking back to and what it actually builds to when you look at the next version, or the next verse, not version. So when you look at the next verse, it says to hold fast to what? Did you have a comment? Go ahead. Yes, because this washing of water, or so we're looking, you could say, inward. This is what we have, and that's why I was looking at this full assurance of faith, because that's why we have this. It's our understanding and knowledge of Christ and what was done for us, and that we can approach this. And somebody have their hand up? No? Yes, sir.
It seems to draw near is actually the imagery of the preceding verses.
Yes.
The preceding verses, he has imagery of the holy place, which you would not dare approach the penalty of death. You would have a lot of fear.
Yes, and I wasn't real clear on making that point, I guess. Confidence in the access that we have because of Christ, and that's kind of why I was pointing to the first three verses. And it encompasses all different things, this access that he allows us. And so we're to draw near with confidence in that. And we are to hold fast to what? What does verse 23 say? Hope? Okay. Well, yes. King James Version will say faith again in both verses. But it's actually not the same word when you look it up. And it's a lot of the other translations use the word hope. So that's why I went with hope. We're to hold fast to hope. And that's not in the way that people use the word hope. Like, oh, I hope this happens or something like that. It's an expectation. It's because this is a promise. You know, it's something that's been promised. So hope in this way is an expectation. You know, God is faithful and he's trustworthy. And he's promised these things. We saw that in verses, I think it was 10 through 12. So I trust in Him. You know, we should trust in Him. So we should be holding fast to this hope or faith. And look to His will. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's a good point. Yes, it is. Unwavering, because we, like you said, it's a promise and it's something we can count on. God's proven to be trustworthy and we have no reason to doubt it. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Good point. Yes. Yes, I could see where that could definitely grow into, because a lot of these really play off of each other, 22 and 23 and 24. At least the way I see it, it seems to be a progression or a building of thought. Yes, sir. Or what they show.
You know, the author's giving them a call to action, you know, not to tell the world that you are continuing to be a Christian as opposed to falling back into Judaism.
Yes, totally agree, because we'll see that's what it's building up to. Also, we see that was a problem they were having. And consider what? And we've kind of looked at that. So the thought was to consider one another. And, you know, if you think about that for a second, why? Why do we consider one another? Well, it's real simple. I mean, it's because of some of the things, the very things we've talked about, because of faith. And this is something that we have in common. And we'll look at more about that a little bit further. But we'll see some benefits of us looking out for one another, or not just that, we see what God's plan is for us as far as considering one another, or one way that we can consider one another, and it's in verse 25, but we're going to build up before we get to that. Yes, sir. Definitely a relationship, because that's what we're talking about, those that are in Christ, and then it gets to a point where it's talking about those that you have that in common with. But so, like Matt said, there was a problem that these were having, the Hebrews were having. So what did it describe in verses 26 through 31? Okay, and they were, basically they were falling away. Okay, so they're backsliding. And that's a fear. You know, and I just put a question on there. Is that something that we'd have to worry about? We don't have to worry about that, right? And I say that jokingly for the recording. Those that don't know me. Yes, definitely. Well, we better believe it can happen to us. And if we don't think so, then we're already a little further along with problems. So we're already in danger. Ronnie, do you have something?
Well, in a sense, today we kind of have the opposite problem.
Okay.
These people were falling back in Judaism.
Right.
And the whole point of this book, of course, is that Christianity is superior.
Yes. Well, and the way I'm kind of looking at this is, yes, there are those that would claim things or that might think themselves as a Christian but not necessarily understand truth. And when I put on there, can this happen to us, I'm talking about us that are assembling together that have a, what was that, Sally's version, I think, well, anyway, I can't remember what verse I was thinking of. But, you know, this is talking about those that understand the truth. And they had gotten away from the Judaism. They knew the truth, but the problem is they're backsliding. And when I say, can this happen to us, I mean us as believers. Yes, we can backslide. We might not have came from Judaism, but we could go back to whatever our problem was, drinking, anything. You know, we can backslide and don't think that we can't. That was kind of my point. And one thing that we'll gain, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think I'm about to. When we're together, when we spend time together, one of the ways we saw here to consider one another is verse 25, the assembly together. But it's not just that. A lot of the times we spend time with fellow Christians, it's because, number one, which we'll look at, love of brother, if we get there, we should want to spend time with one another because of what we have in common. This is something, you know, I shouldn't really be wanting to be around people that are I've put off the old man. You know, I'm not that person. So we want to be around people that have the same focus and the same trust, this faith, this hope. And, you know, by being around one another, could we be a bad influence? I'm not saying that we couldn't, but I'm saying that if we're around those that are striving to do the will of God, we're going to help strengthen one another in that. We're going to help one another grow in that. And we're going to be a good influence on one another. Do you have something, Matt?
Well, you asked the question, you know, what is being described in verses 26 through 31? And it's an interesting question because what's being described is punishment, you know, judgment. Mm-hmm. 31, it's very carrot or stick. You know, the author starts with carrot. 19 through 24 is these positive things. Here's what, here are reasons, good reasons, why you should stick with, why you should be obedient and continue
because you see that we're progressing to, you know, this condition that can happen. And then once you're at that point, it has some things to say about that. So, exactly. So, just to say a couple of things about that, because I did have some things I wrote down on my copy. You know, when we think about this, I put, what do we have? Okay, and we've looked at that, this verses 19 through 21. You know, we have this access to God, and we can have confidence in this. We see that 19 through 21. So then once we go to verses 22 through 25, I just put things that we should have. Okay, these are things that we should be doing, drawing near, holding fast, considering one another. And verse 26 to 31, kind of on your point, Matt, it's a warning to if we don't do these things, you know, where it leads us, apostasy, and then what that outcome is once we're at that point, you know. So that was kind of some of my thoughts on that. Now, when I was figuring out how to approach this, a lot of my focus really was on verse 24. Although we've looked at these different things, this considering one another, you know, that's a lot of what my thought was toward. So right now, I want to change our focus just a little bit, or just a view of our thought, just for a certain perspective. And reason why I want to do that is because if we, in that view of considering one another, let's think of how to help one another. So when we consider one another, how can we help one another with that? So with that in thought, that's where I kind of changed to what are some problems Hebrews faced. Now, I wasn't talking about these verses here, and these two are things we can run into, but that's where I put the Hebrews 3, 12 through 13. So let's look at Hebrews 3. So let's read 12 through 13. It says, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Excuse me. So, we see this idea, or before I give out the answer, and I know there's more than one answer, but where I was thinking of, what is a thing that would be warned of here? Why one might fall away? And I also put on there, consider verse 13, how it starts. It starts with the term encourage. So what is something that they were running into and something that we can run into? Yes, but I was looking for discouragement. We can be discouraged. So, verse 13 warns, it says, you know, to encourage or to exhort, depending on your version. So, that's why we are to encourage, because we know that those can be discouraged. And that was some of the things that they were running into. In Hebrews 6:11, we see this. Hebrews 6:11 and 12, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So here we're warned of sluggishness or being sluggish. Verse 11 said that we desire each one of you to show the same diligence, the opposite of that, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So we are not to be sluggish, but to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So we already looked at this, having therefore boldness in verse 19. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Think about how to stimulate one another. Think about how to encourage one another to grow and mature in all of your works.
I agree. Yes, sir. And we'll see that when we get a little further and we talk about some of these things that we can do for one another, because, you know, that is one way that we encourage one another. Definitely. So
we did have false teachers to come in unaware. So we have that danger that we need to check into God's word. And they also had persecution. You know, they're probably seized and all that kind of thing. Our property is not to be seized, but there might be a day in life, but we would still have persecution if we probably stand for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get discouraged by that.
Yes, ma'am. It just, yes, yes, like you said, because it's a progression of things, and definitely they're facing trials, and we too could face some kind of trials or things, but when we think about it in the aspect of what we started off with, there's something much greater than anything that we can face in this life. And if we allow that to be our focus, if that's what we look back to, you know, having confidence in God, then we can overcome anything. I know that sounds easy, but it's true. It's true. Because we have people now that face things. It could be health, different things like that. What allows them to overcome that? What allows them to get past those things? You still see them assemble with you. They still try to encourage you, or they might have things going on, other types of things going on in their life, but they don't let that get in the way because they have something greater that they focus on. So yes, we can have things that will come up in life, but if we focus on the blessings that we have in Christ, then we can overcome all those things. So we saw in verse 22 this full assurance of faith. So, wow. Okay. We only got a couple pages to go in about 5 minutes. So this full assurance of faith. So approaching it from the idea of considering one another, how can I build my brother's faith? Now, what can I do to strengthen them? And a lot of it goes to what Rocky said. You know, this idea of growth. How do we grow? Well, it's based off of, we can look at John 20. John 20, 30 and 31. We know this verse, we're very familiar with it, but it says, many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So because of what is written, we can have confidence, and we know how to put on Christ. And, you know, once we do that, we can help one another grow in our understanding. But that's what it points back to, though. We have to be going to the very thing that helps us understand Christ, and that's the Word of God. And if we're continually diving into the Word of God and continually growing, then we're increasing that faith. And it's something that indeed we can do, but if maybe we can see how to help one another in growing in that faith. I think back, you know, and I know the elders do now, but in the past, I'm thinking of when I was a new Christian, there's something that they would do, and all these men here are familiar with it, because this whole month we've had different guys from the congregation teaching. So, guys, I know sometimes you might get, oh no, he's coming to ask me something. Because can you do the Wednesday close, or do you want to teach this quarter? Well, Wally doesn't ask that. He puts you on the list, but but you know, sometimes we might get, oh no, but really, when you think about it, they're helping your growth. Yeah, they're putting something in front of you that might have a little difficulty, but by you accepting that challenge and doing the work, you grow, and they're helping you. You might not see it that way, but really they are. So there are things that are in place that we might not recognize it, but we do see how others help us grow in this local group. Who had their hand up? Well, that one's almost 15. That's why I was seeing what time was on that one. See where we were at. Okay, so those are some ways that we can help our brother by helping them build their faith. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something we have to... And I guess in itself, that's something we can grow from, too. Maybe we didn't take it as easy the first couple of times we've had that done to us, but we grow in that as well. But, yes, that's true. Yes, sir. Do I have that coming in a couple of minutes? Yeah. No, okay. Asking questions or building that. Yes. Yes. And those are all good points, Matt, because it ties back into the, we won't have time to look at it, but the love of brethren, if you think about it, because what you said as far as what's the worst thing can happen. We got to realize when we get up here, of course, we want to do our best. I'm not saying we should just get up here and not be prepared. And I'm not worried about it. They'll understand. That's and I know that's not what you mean. But we do the work. We prepare ourselves. We get up here and we do it. And our brethren love us. We got to remember that one. Believe me. I've got to remember that when I get up here, because this is not where I like to be. But I don't like to be the focus of the attention and all of that. But we know, like you said, that our brethren love us. And yes, we might have some and say, hey, you use this way, and I think it, and that's good. We need that. Because, again, that's how we grow. Maybe we did misuse a verse or something. But the good thing about the brethren here, they're going to come to you and discuss it with you and show you why they thought that. And they're not necessarily going to call you out right there in the middle of the class. Hopefully, no. Depends on what it is, I guess. But go ahead, Matt. Yes.
I get that when you look at becoming sluggish, not encouraging people.
Yes.
They don't become sluggish, don't stop helping other people.
Right.
So, and all of these verses, it seems that the answer to unbelief is to encourage people around you, to confess your hope is to build up your brother, and you build up your brother.
Right, because that unbelief isn't because they didn't know the truth. Because they have backslidden from it. Because these are things we can look to inward, things that we need to do, don't be sluggish. You know, these are things inward that we should do for ourselves, but things that when we think of verse 25 is thrown in there. So, this assembling together and the idea of loving or considering one another, then this is one way that we can help one another from falling into that trap, like you said. Sir, I'm sorry.
As well as ourselves.
Yes, as well of ourselves. That's true. That's a good point.